listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, live on a Wednesday. A lot of news. In studio, Steve Fezzik. One of the pros, who knows? If you haven't listened before, and you know, we're growing fast, he might be the most selfish man on earth. I was talking to a friend of mine who's, you know, he's in the industry. Matt Holt was in for a meeting. He goes, I've been listening to the show. He goes, I didn't know Fezzik was that bad. Now, this was a guy, a former bookmaker, he was behind the counter. And you guys know what I think of bookmakers generally.
Cockroaches, yeah.
But Matty Holt was best in breed. And the funniest story about Fezzik, one of the funny ones, was we were doing a podcast years ago, and Matt Holt shows up for the first time. He was booking at the time for Cantor, which was a big book in town. And then he started coming every week, and Fezzik was always talking to him right after the show, arm around him, walking with him to the break room. Finally, like a month in, Jonas, he says, you know, I like doing this, but can you have Fezzik stop accosting me when it comes to like, and it's like, what's he accosting you for? He'll be like, I only got $500 on that WNBA halftime total, and I want to get $1,000. Like, he was just like, lobbying would be the word. He was lobbying nonstop. The guy shows up to do a podcast. True or false, Fez?
True.
And did you have any thought that this guy's coming to contribute to pregame.com? It was just like, you could make an extra dollar, perhaps.
Me. All about me.
If you like beat him into submission. I mean, that's all you need to know. The most selfish man in America, Steve Fezzik. Sports bettors listen for the money. That's the Fezzik fans, usually. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddy. He's a Joe, but he's my favorite Joe in L.A., Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we have rumblings of a possible Colin Kaepernick return to the NFL, details from the NBA bubble that have been released, what is the Vegas lead here on this Wednesday?
Well, I do have a special RJ special on the hotels. It's funny stuff. But the lead is baseball. And I got to tell you something. If you respect unchecked aggression, Scarface style, you got to respect the players, man. They are, I actually feel almost bad for the owners that they're getting rolled like this, but I think it's the lead.
Yeah, it's varying reports that have come in. Ken Rosenthal most notably detailing a 60-game proposal with other things included, including the waiving of the grievance that's been thrown out there in the past couple of days from the MLBPA. Although no deal is done, Tony Clark, Rob Manfred both did meet for hours and hours to go over a framework of a deal, but it appears that both sides are at least getting closer to a possible 2020 season.
Okay, yesterday we got great feedback because we really drilled down to the truth of what's happened in this negotiation. There's a lot of things that are inevitable, meaning COVID-19 happened. So both parties dealt with it, but no one made concessions specifically about the existence of COVID, right? They had no say in it. So we drilled down and ultimately the concessions came on one matter: the amount of money the players would get for games that weren't generating money to the degree that they were supposed to or expected to initially, right? Which is normal. Normal is fans. Normal is concessions. This isn't normal. So as Jonas said yesterday, the Post, New York Post, had an article about an email that was saying that it was seemingly provable that the players knew or agreed that there'd be further negotiations. Because one of the who's right, who's wrong in all this has been, well, if the owners accepted the 100 cents on the dollar for the games that would be played, then you can't renege on that. Deal's a deal, as they say. I don't know for sure that we say the one report is proof otherwise, but I think that if we're laying blame, I think that's a big red question mark. Because if it were the case that the player said, oh, yeah, of course, we'll negotiate less than 100% of the salary if the revenue is significantly less. However that was said, I think we got to set that aside. We don't know for sure. But otherwise, it's been this. And tell me if I'm wrong. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. It's been, how much do you want, players? 100%. 100%. Okay. You mean you do realize there's no fans? Yep. 100%. No concessions? Yep. 100%. Owner's like, that doesn't seem fair. What about less? Nope. 100%. And literally, I could do this for a while longer. It wouldn't be all that entertaining. The players have just kept saying no, 100%. And the owners have said, what about this? What about that? And somehow, the owners are negotiating against themselves now.
Pretty much. And the players kept criticizing the owners. Hey, their offers are virtually the same. I'm making about the same. Well, at least the owners kept coming back with alternative offers. And the players, like you said, RJ, 100% pay me what I deserve per game. Otherwise, no deal.
And again, to say what I deserve per game is the question. Now, let's get something straight. I'm not in any way saying negotiation prowess, unchecked aggression. I'm not saying I'm against any of those things. But let's call the reality the reality. The owners have conceded multiple times here. Now, you might say, and we're going to get Jonas's thoughts in a second, you might say, well, what have they conceded? Well, the reality is the owners are losing a different amount. Some people are reporting, one amount, others another amount, or the owners are saying an amount. But no one seems to debate that the owners are going to lose per game in the regular season if they pay 100 cents on the dollar. Jonas, what part, and excuse me, I got to clear my throat.
Yeah, I just say, I look at this and I go, publicly, the owners are making most of the effort. So from a PR standpoint, the owners have come out and said, all right, what about this? Rejected. Okay, what about this? Rejected. What about that? Rejected. But what you're hearing from players and a lot of people in the MLBPA is that owners are in essence, offering the same thing, but with different wording, to where they're offering more games, but we'll give you this amount. Well, if you break it down, it actually ends up being the same amount as the previous offer. So players have grown frustrated with the idea of, we will only accept this. You keep coming back to us with the same offer in just different wording and present it as a brand new offer, when in reality it's the same thing. We keep going in circles.
But I think we would agree, and I think there was some of that for sure in some of the cycles, but I think we would agree that the 48 games, the thought was, that was the default position. That was agreed to in March.
Yeah.
So at this point, that would be the owner saying, we're going to pay you 100 cents that we don't want to on the dollar, 100%, no haircut, no pro rata. Yeah, you don't get paid for the games you don't play. But on top of that, we only want to play 48 games because we're losing every game. That's what the owners are saying. And it seems like that was literally a default in the deal. We said last week, well, there's probably going to be baseball because worst case, they'll just default to that deal. The owners won't like it, but there'll be only 48 games. It stinks, but it is what it is. Somehow the players have got it now where they still are making every penny. And they're up to how many games, Fred?
It's up to 60. And I got to tell you, RJ, I am shocked by this development because, like you said, I think our expectation was we're probably going to have baseball. It's probably going to be 48 to 50 games. So that 60 is such a higher number than what I expected. And then I'm hearing the players, when they heard the 60, now they're trying to turn it into 66 or a slightly even higher number. It looks like the players are winning, in my opinion.
Looks like they're winning.
Big time.
I mean, would have the owners won? Like, they literally couldn't even somehow execute the deal that was the default worst deal. Like, there was this, like, safety deal, 48 games, 100 cents on the dollar, and apparently they couldn't write up the deal sufficiently that the grievance that the players were going to file, supposedly, is what brought the owners back to the table. I usually say these rich guys have good lawyers. I'm not sure how good the lawyers are. Because if you have this worst-case deal, and then you got to give a better deal than that because your lawyers didn't have a limitation of grievances. Because the assumption should have been, upon us signing this deal formally, or the second stage of it, that you renounce all rights for up to that point of grievance filing. Meaning, if you do something wrong in the future, fine. But by signing the deal, you're saying everything's kosher up to that point.
Yeah, you're agreeing with the contract. How can you have a grievance with what you're signing and agreeing
upon? But apparently they wrote it in a way that allowed the players to say where and when, and then file a $1 billion grievance the next day. Maybe the owners just need new lawyers.
Well, there's a reason six owners did not want to play baseball at all this year, but apparently...
Well, first off, I said yesterday, isn't it curious that number's right next to the number in which if there's one or two more that they don't have it? That, I don't believe that number, right? I mean, so Jonas, I mean, is there any conclusion to this other than the owners have been borderline inept? And I'm not just talking PR. I'm talking about whatever effort they've been making to negotiate some victory couldn't have gone worse so far.
No, it's been awful. And what's funny about this is that upon the 60-game proposal that was reported and sent over, one of the replies to that was Ken Rosenthal saying that he expects that the Players Association will even counter the 60 games to try and get it to 65 games or 66 because they're trying to get it to where the players get around 40% of their original projected salaries. So it was almost like the Players Association says, don't worry about it. We're going to get you your 40%. Just watch. And they've been playing them this whole time. It's comical.
This is usually, I mean, you're mocking the owners.
Yes.
Collectively, what are they worth? Probably like $100 billion? And they can't get good enough lawyers to do imagine if in March I would have said, if you were on the player side, you said, okay, here's what I expect us to get by, you know, mid-June. I think we'll get 100 cents on the dollar. Nah, we won't play 48 games. We're playing the 60s, and we won't concede anything else. Well, how could we do that? The deal actually said, no. It's like the worst case. And the funny thing with the owners is they're going to get the worst financial deal possible, it seems like, and they're still going to make the fans so mad. There'll probably be billions of dollars. It's like they did how could they have messed this up more? Like, literally, they're getting the worst financial deal, the owners are. They're paying 100 cents on the dollar, paying more games than they want to, and the fans are still going to leave this hate, you know, being mad at baseball. Whew. All right. I respect what the players are doing. I just think it's like we said yesterday. It's almost like they became owners. This is the first time the players are thinking like owners, which is code for saying they don't really care about the fans, and it's working. It's working.
I think we have a winner of the game of chicken here, right?
Yeah, but in a way you could say the owner's weakness is they care more about the game. But that's what chicken's about. How much do you care about crashing?
Exactly right. Bottom line is the owners clearly want there to be a season. Yes.
When we come back, Daryl Morey made a statement. It's almost like he gave us a best bet, and we have sound so we can listen.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone, he's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, somebody in the NBA has made a bold, bold prediction.
We love it when the experts give us best bets. Great day to join us. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audiences more than doubled in the last year. Thank you so much for the support. We work really hard to satisfy and deliver. And we promise to have the best football season ever coming up. So excited about that. You can listen. FoxSportsRadio.com has streaming and also all the stations you can listen. Here in Las Vegas, 93 degrees on the strip. The neon, you know, it's been on for a while. The neon is flowing.
So, RJ, we did a segment here on Straight Out of Vegas for quite a while during the football season the first year around. It was called Pros versus the World, except this time I think it's Pros versus Rockets general manager Daryl Morey.
Yeah, we also had one I want to bring back, actually, in the future. It was called Undercover Best Bets. The theory was if you listen closely, there's best bets out there. That's what we're going to have here. So what we have is Daryl Morey, so GM of the Rockets, was on First Things First on FS1. It was a long interview. And by the way, he was in a bird sanctuary. I spent a lot of time trying to get the bird sounds down. There's a little bird sound. It's not Fezzik with his parrot. Let's just say that in studio. That'd be funny if you came in with a parrot just on your shoulder. I mean, would we really be that surprised, though? Come on. So the first thing he shares is how he thinks the Rockets will be affected by the layoff. And guys, remember this. Between October 22nd, or check that, from the champion last year, NBA, was decided on June 13th. The season started October 22nd. That's 132 days. Now, the season was suspended on March 11th. Supposed to be back July 30th. It's 140 days. So it's 8 more days, the COVID hiatus, if they start on time, than the break from the finals to the start of the season. This is effectively longer than between seasons.
It's a brand new season going almost into the postseason, right?
Except it's not, because they got standings. There's a complexity here we've never dealt with before. And hearing one of the smartest GMs talk about it gives us insight. Let's listen.
Our team had the most changes pretty much of any playoff team with the trade at the deadline to get Covington. And so we're really looking forward to basically a second training camp, getting our defense tighter. That's the area we need to improve if we're going to give ourselves a real chance on the restart.
All right. So it's interesting, and I think we actually had a slightly different clip there. I'm not sure how that happened, but one of the things that I thought, well, Fez, why don't you give your observation?
Yeah, very interesting, because initially, RJ, my thoughts was any team that's acquiring new players like the Rockets did, they get Covington from Minnesota, they get Jeff Green from Utah. These guys have only played 14 and 10 games, and my thoughts were, wow, they're going to be up against it. They're going to have so few games for all the players to get to know each other in game time action. I thought it was going to be a significant disadvantage for teams like the Rockets that have had so many changes during the year.
Now, we talked about this on our weekly podcast. And my initial thought was all the NBA guys, and Jonas, you can tell me if you've heard this from the players and the coaches, they really stress how during the regular season, there's so many games that they barely ever get to practice. Like an actual practice that they can put a new, you know, put something different in, it's almost impossible. So my thought was having almost a full second training camp would be bigger for a team that needed to be integrated than the fact that they lost some games. Because games, yeah, you're getting familiar with the other players, but the coaches aren't doing much to help the cohesion of the team. Seems like Daryl believes that second training camp is bigger. Jonas, would you agree that NBA people in general talk about how little they can actually do different during a season.
Yeah, because of the travel. I mean, you finish a game, you do your press obligations, you do your media stuff, and then you're on a flight to the next place. You get there at around 4 or 5 a.m. They'll sleep a little bit. They'll have some shoot around, but you don't really get an opportunity with rehab and everything else to practice all that often during the season. And sometimes you'll hear coaches, when they finally get home and have a few days off, it's nice to get out there and practice. It's nice to get out there and get on the same page because you're just dealing with the routine grind of traveling throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So, Fez, I mean, at this point, we kind of got to agree with the GM, right?
Yeah, I think so. And we talked about this on the pod, how this was eye-opening to me. Like, wow, you really do have an opportunity to go ahead and retool your team and use all those practices. And let's face it, here's a Rockets team that has been in contention for the title in prior years. And with so many changes this year, they're only number 6 right now in the West. They don't have the record, but they certainly have the potential.
Well, I was apprehensive to play this clip because it so supported me. And, you know, I had to just for the audience, Fez. I hope you understand that. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. I mean, because, you know, it's almost, I mean, you know, in the Woody Allen movie, I think it was Annie Hall, where he's in line talking about a political thing or a media thinker, Marshall McLuhan. And he goes, he's arguing with someone. He goes, I wish Marshall McLuhan was here to answer this. And he walks out and goes, hello, I'm Marshall McLuhan. And it was like a dream. Well, in a way, this was that. We were disagreeing on something. Maybe the most respected GM comes out and just
on your side.
And again, I didn't want to play it. Now we have one more clip, and it's titled, Hey, Favor Us. Let's listen. I'm going to be curious what's on this.
All else equal, I mean, the teams are the teams, but I do think a restart, yeah, favors us in a bunch of ways. We have the most veteran team in the league. A second training camp, like I mentioned, will help us, I think, more than most teams. And then everyone on the Rockets, myself, Coach D'Antoni, James, Russell, Eric Gore, I mean, all the way down the roster, we've all gotten to that stage in our career where there's really one thing left, and we're all focused on it.
To me, that last comment's the key comment of all of this. The assumption is, who isn't focused on the NBA title? The fact he's saying that we're focused, why would he say it unless he thought that was a differentiation, unless he thought others weren't going to be? And boy, that's the most telling, that if it's social justice and the unrest, Kyrie, if it's COVID-19 fears, if it's, hey, we don't got a real chance anyway and we hate this bubble, which we're going to get to in a minute. I never have really gone into playoffs thinking motivation matters. In general, Fez, regular season NBA, motivation matters. But during the postseason, the assumption is all the teams want to win the title. Don't you agree? Daryl Morey's statement there implies he thinks his team being extra hungry at later stage of their careers is an advantage, means the other teams, he's not certain, will be max focus.
Yes, and I think this Orlando bubble and how teams play in it is really going to be eye-opening because, like you said, RJ, motivation, never a key in most playoffs. There's going to be some teams, I think, that just don't want to be there, and they're going to be teams we do not want any part of in terms of our bets.
Jonas, main takeaways from Morey's statements.
I think he sees an opportunity to take a shortcut to a championship. I think if you look at Houston over the past several years, they had to deal with Goliath, which was the Golden State Warriors. Right when they thought they had him on the ropes, they suffered an injury and ended up losing a big lead in Game 7 that they had at home. And then when the Warriors do end up falling apart, then LeBron James joins the Western Conference, and he changes the math and everything else to go along with it. I think Daryl Morey and the Rockets look at this as our best chance to cut in line without having to deal with the rest of the grind of the season with a whole bunch of time off. We've always heard about James Harden wearing down because of how hard he plays. I think they look at this as a golden opportunity.
Now, how hard he plays, I agree with you. Harden's wearing down has been at least a perceived key. I'm not sure how much of it's that and how much of it is when you play a simplistic, NFL has an analogy to this. If you play a simplistic offense, and for example, a lot of people would be surprised, the Rams, they got McVay, who's the boy genius, but they have one of those almost like the run and shoot, but not that simple, where each receiver, there might be seven or eight different kind of scenarios, and then he's got three options on each. So you add it up, there's a lot of permutations, but each player has a very simple thing to learn. And that's when you're between weeks and it's a short week, those teams have an advantage. Let's say Thursday game, where other teams game plan and tweak a lot, and Belichick does this, though Belichick can always figure out how to make it work. But he's putting in whole new game plans, whole new defense. Sometimes it'll be 3-4, sometimes he's 4-3. Well, you figure prep time is very important there, right? Rockets have a perfect offense for the regular season. They run the same play again and again, but they don't see any team all that much. And thus, it works. But then you get to the playoffs. You see him game one, game two, game three. Well, when have the Rockets looked the worst? At the end, I mean, they were up on the, I mean,
up Golden State 3-2, couldn't close it out. Yep.
It really fits. Now, you could also say that's fatigue. And I think it's probably a combination because Harden's usage rate is so high. So NBA, they have a stat called player efficiency rating, PER. James Harden is the 10th best in the history of the NBA. Magic, Bird, Will, whatever. Harden's the 10th best. By the way, Westbrook, 20th best. So you've got two of the top 20 players by the most respected, probably, advanced stat. Westbrook is, you could say, maybe he's out of his prime, but he's playing better than ever, it would seem, at least in that short sample with Houston. Would you agree with that, Fez?
Yeah, he finally stopped taking so many three-pointers, and the offense has worked so much better.
And Rockets, in 12 years under Morey as GM, 10 playoff appearances. So he's done well in the regular season, done well early in the playoffs, has done well early in series. I mean, think about this. And I hate excuses. And I will say this. Daryl had more lobbying for his job in a way. Because remember, there's a new Rockets owner, right? Fertitta's a different member of the family. Now, I know he has, and again, I'm just going by what I read in the papers, is the COVID really hit him because the Rockets owner has a lot of, I think it's Morton Steakhouse, a lot of restaurants is where their fortune is, which has been, you know, obviously hard hit. But assuming he's in control next year of the Rockets, the sense is it's win something this year or Morey's out. And we don't know that for sure. Jonas, if you had to bet 50-50, if Rockets, let's say they lose in the Western semifinals, is Daryl back next year?
Oh, I would say no.
Yeah, it's a close one, I think. So in a weird way, he's saying things like, we had the best team or one of the best teams that ever that didn't win a title. And we have the best offense ever. So he's really like pitching achievements other than winning a title. I don't think he's doing that for his ego. I think he's worried about his job. And I think the head coach, you know, D'Antoni's probably worried for his job, right? I mean, I don't know. Let's look at the NBA Finals odds updated. Pregame.com, the official odds provider of the Associated Press. Lakers favored plus 240. Bucks plus 275. So 100 wins you 240 on the Lakers. 100 wins you 275 on the Bucks. Clippers 3-1. And the Rockets are next, 14-1. Fez, forced bet, do you lay 14-1 or take 14-1? Or do you lay 14 to win a dollar and say no? Or do you take the 14-1?
I bet against the Rockets, RJ. And I got to be honest here. Everything we've said makes sense about the Rockets being a great dark horse underdog. But Vegas knows about all these factors. And here are the Rockets. What are they, the 10th best record in the NBA? And they're the fourth pick in terms of winning the title. It's priced in.
Now, that's a great point. The regular season generally is indicative of how good a team is. 10th best record, fourth best odds for the Rockets. But this Rockets team made a big change midstream, right?
Sure.
So the team with Westbrook, the team after the trade and they went small ball, how good's that team?
And the potential of that team.
Yeah.
I think it's really the potential, the variance. That team hasn't been great by any means.
Remember now, you're the one that was saying how, now, and Jonas, you might not remember this, but I do, is Anthony Davis for the Lakers scored, I think, 34. And he was like, he was picking against the Lakers. He scored 34 against the Rockets after they went small. He goes, yeah, they're like a bunch of kids on the court. He should have had 4. Like, somehow 34 was bad.
Yeah, I think I use a derogatory term to describe how short the Rockets were.
So
yes.
You're constantly trying to then make that a true statement by demeaning the Rockets.
Yes.
Who was that?
Jones,
who was that?
14-1. What do you think?
I like it. I think them getting hot is a problem for anybody. The 7-game series is concerning because, you know, there's not as much opportunity to catch somebody. But I do think they're one of the more interesting teams to watch heading into this, just because if what we've been told is James Harden plays so hard during the regular season that his body wears out during the playoffs, and Russell Westbrook plays so hard during the regular season his body wears out, well, if they're going to be fresh, then there goes those excuses at the end of all this if they still can't get it done in Orlando.
And I'm just fascinated Daryl Morey is a very intelligent guy. He was one of the Sloan Conference advanced analytics at the beginning seminal guys. Yeah, I think Harvard degree, Ivy League. And he can't be unaware that defenses start to get on to the simplicity of their offense in a 7-game series. Maybe he's got a trick up his sleeve. That would be fascinating. Fez, last question. Would you agree this season, NBA is famous for only having favorites win, where the better team wins a vast majority of the time because it's 7 games and there's not a lot of luck. Think about it. In hockey, if you score one goal, it's like 1/5, 1/6 of the scoring. So a lucky goal is 16% or whatever. In baseball, a lucky 3-run homer, might be 1/3 of the scoring. What's the luckiest thing that can happen in an NBA game? A 3-pointer go?
3-pointer.
Yeah,
yep.
So it's like, let me see, if it's 400 or 200 points, it's a 3 divided by, 1.5%. Thus, the better team tends to advance. Historically, during strike seasons, shortened seasons, the one time an 8 seed made the final was the Knicks, I think, in 99. Do you agree in general every underdog has a better chance because of the scenario we're in?
Yeah, 2 reasons why. One, there's much more variance on the motivation, how these teams are going to play. And
all right,
two,
so variance in the motivation, meaning some are going to be motivated, some aren't, even though typically in the playoffs. But you think there's a favorite that's not going to be motivated?
You never know with, like, the Lakers and some players speaking out about not even wanting to play, RJ. There might be a rift in the locker room. Possible.
Yeah, but maybe if any of those players actually played, it would be more important.
Fair enough. But bottom line is no home court advantage for the top seeds, and that's certainly going to give the underdogs a much better punching chance.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
All right, let's get our last break in, and when we come back, I've got some details about the hotel accommodations. It's going to be so funny, these millionaires having dinner with Mickey Mouse, effectively.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ, some details have come out about the bubble in Orlando, including the hotels in which teams will be staying at.
Now, have you read this?
I've seen the names of the hotels.
Yeah, this is great. So this is SB Nation did this report, and it's almost like a scouting report on the hotels. Now, this seems coincidental to me, perhaps. These are the teams that are staying in the best hotel. The Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers, Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, Heat. Now, those who are not conspiracy types are going to say, RJ, they're doing it by best record. Okay, interesting. So I'm going to count these teams. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So 8 times 3 is 24. How many teams are playing, Jonas?
22.
Okay. So they had a decision on that last team, right? Could have been in the first tier, could have been the second tier. Miami Heat. The Godfather, Pat Riley. Okay, maybe a coincidence. Now, here is the hotel. The Grand Destino. Destino. Okay, Tower. It's the newest and nicest at Disney World. It opened in July of 2019, so it's literally less than a year old at this point. We'll be about a year. And it also is the closest to the actual venue where the games are going to be of the three locations. That's LeBron and company. Now, next, there's three levels here. Thunder, Sixers, Rockets, Pacers, Mavericks, Nets, Grizzlies, Magic. And it's called the Grand Floridian. Legendary, but very old. And it's respected, it's loved due to its close proximity to Magic Kingdom. And easy access to Epcot, in case any of the players are looking for a little science. Now, Jonas, did you realize that Disney World is opening, or Disneyland, I'm not sure which one it is, a world, pretty much at the same time where the public's going to be allowed in?
Yeah.
How's
that
going to work?
I have no idea. A lot of it doesn't
make sense. That's funny, isn't it? That they couldn't. And then finally, the Yacht Club. That doesn't sound good, does it? Blazers, Kings, Pelicans, Spurs, Suns, Wizards. So think about it. We ranted and raved how the East didn't even need to play games. The 8 were set, but they wanted to get those 8 extra games to get that money, local TV deal. And lo and behold, not only do they have to go back, do a long camp, all this stuff, they got to stay at the Yacht Club. And that's ironic, I think, the Yacht Club. And they're famous for their jelly rolls and a dueling piano bar. That's it. Just the facts. So, Jonas, I don't know if you saw Kaepernick. Odds are out on will he play. Let's see the exact odds here. It says, will he be on a week one roster? So what would your odds be on this, Kaepernick? Week one roster, yes
God.
Or no?
I would say 10 to 1.
So against. Okay, so on June 2nd, 5 to 1 against. You had to bet $9 to win a dollar if you said no. If you said yes, dollar won you 5. Now, 14 days later, on June 16th, yesterday, it was plus 250. And today, it's still plus 250. So literally, the odds have gone from 5 to 1 to 2.5 to 1. Kaepernick, it looks like, at least the betting market believes, he's got a pretty decent chance. And it's about minus 500. Any thoughts on that, Fez?
I could certainly see Cap making a team. I actually like the plus 250.
What do you mean making a team? That's not first of all, if he gets... imagine that story. Right? They bring him in and then they cut him. Oh, my gosh. That'd be a whole show
Plus 250 looks attractive.
All right. Hey, last thing. You had something undercover, Fez, when it came to the Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles lost their best lineman, Brandon Brooks, and under-the-radar type of guy. He's awesome, actually. Pro Football Focus had him rated not just the Eagles' best lineman, the NFL's best offensive lineman last year, and yet the Eagles' season win number, 9.5, has not budged. RJ, I got to tell you, it's going to hurt the Eagles a lot. I would look under 9.5 wins.
Yeah, so they don't have the depth on the team. The theory is they might try to go back to Lane Johnson, right? So, but he's not there for a reason. What do you think, Jonas?
I think the Eagles, I'm questioning Carson Wentz and his desire to play.
Isn't it interesting that Colin just said the third best quarterback in the NFL? Jonas, you know, tomorrow it's me and you. I've got a lot of clips from Colin. I think we're going to have him critique these. Now, this is going to be great. We'll have him critique them, and then you critique Colin's critique.
I'm sure that'll go well. Yeah, I'm sure that'll go well. Why not?
I mean, listen, if it's your last day, it's your last day.
It has to be, I guess. Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
I'm not joking, Jonas. Tomorrow, second segment, you versus Colin, dueling. I'm going to have theme music for it.
That'll be our dueling piano bar. That's what it'll be. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And if you missed any of today's show, you can always check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com.
Straight out of Vegas!